Hello everyone, this is Donna Slater from the north of England. Today I've submitted a soundseeing tour which I hope will be of interest to you. The sound quality on it is quite good and the Bird of Prey show in particular is very interesting. This soundseeing tour is, well, it takes place in the Milky Way Adventure Park in Cornwall. And my family and I went down to Devon and Cornwall, which is in the south of England, for our Easter holiday. One of the places that we discovered was the Milky Way Adventure Park, and we actually returned there twice because we felt it was so child-friendly and the children really enjoyed it. Hopefully this will come over in the soundseeing tour. The staff there were absolutely wonderful. We spent two full days there, more or less, and there are other shows and things from the Milky Way Adventure Park, which I will submit later, but I decided to split them because it would have turned into too long a podcast. Now, the Milky Way Adventure Park is actually an old converted dairy farm. I say old, not really that old. In the 1980s, there were quite a few milk and dairy farming quotas in place, and many dairy farmers went out of business. The guy that owns the Milky Way farm basically felt that he was going to diversify. So what he actually did was he converted many of his farm buildings, his old cow sheds, etc., etc., into play areas and arenas and all sorts of things for children and for their family members, their adult family members as well. So basically what he ended up with was a huge indoor area, and he constructed adventure playgrounds indoors, a roller coaster indoors, all sorts of things. You should get a feel as we're walking around, even though it's in mono, of how big and spacious all these areas are. They're really high buildings and really quite echoey. Now, the podcast today initially just sort of sets the scene a bit with us arriving at the Milky Way Park. We then move on to the Bird of Prey show. The guy that did the Bird of Prey show was absolutely incredible. We saw the indoor show and we saw the outdoor show, and they were both amazing. He was really informative, really friendly, and really put on a good show. The birds were flying so close to me that I could actually feel their wings more or less brushing past me. You'll hear, I really wish I had the stereo mics for this, you'll hear him running about with his birds. Also, you will hear quite a lot of noise initially. There was somebody there with severe learning difficulties who got really quite excited by the birds. He was obviously enjoying himself a lot. I hope you don't find that sort of noise level too disturbing. He was just really enjoying himself. We then briefly visit the Dodgems, although that was so noisy that I've edited most of that out, and then move on to the animals, the bottle feeding of baby lambs and goats, which my children Alex and Bethany took part in. Now, that might seem quite long and drawn out, I'm not sure, but the guy who was in charge of that was actually the owner of the farm and was quite informative. So hopefully you'll pick up enough from that that it will be of interest to you. Okay, just a quick thanks to everyone before I start for all the wonderful submissions. I've really been enjoying them. The career submissions have been fascinating. The demos have been great. Thank you. And again, thanks to you, Larry. Right, on with the soundseeing tour.
Oh, wonderful. So six of you against two.
Yeah, thank you. I'm playing for two.
27 and oh, you're paying separately. Yeah. You're paying for two. Are you £9 for your two?
You want any handouts?
That's lovely.
You want any handouts?
And 9 for yours, or you pay for 4 of you?
We'll pay for 4 of us.
That's lovely, thank you. You can keep that until the end of March and bring it again next time. That's lovely. Next year. Lashes as well, anyway.
Sure.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, I nearly forgot yours as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd like one as well? There you go, guys. And would you like to take a map today, or do you know near enough where everything is, I expect, but that's just in case. All right.
Thank you.
Make yourselves at home again, guys.
Thanks ever so much. Bye. Thanks.
Well, that little well done first, isn't it?
Where are we going first?
We'll
have a wander around.
The thing's playing.
Well, that's quite an hour yet.
Yeah.
What moment is it?
Finger? Or hand?
Finger?
Okay.
If you ever let go of finger.
If you let go, it'll be hands, okay?
Sorry, not today.
What?
That's the carrot cheers.
Alright.
It was quite good as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, £6.
Alright.
They were quite good.
The wrinkle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Dad's got your jacket there.
I've got my fleece on.
I'm not cold.
Good.
Where's the bird?
Well, they're not flying yet.
What are we going to do? There's the bird.
Yeah, it's the indoor one this morning, which is why I really wanted to see it. I haven't got, have we? How many is the arena?
I want to go in there!
Yeah, Bethany likes in there.
Where?
Fantasy.
It's the little play area for
them. Alright.
Can I go in first? No?
Not just now, I don't think, can she?
Right, as long as somebody stops with
her. I'll stop with her. Right. Bethany,
take your shoes off and give them to Mummy.
Give them to Mummy, and then you play in there.
She can't. She's got tights on.
She's got tights on.
Oh, right.
Thank you. Goodness me, what are you in there? Right.
Mum, will you guard here?
Will I guard here? Oh, Mummy, I'll come with us.
We'll go and find something else next.
I want to...
I know you want to come back. You can come back later, all right.
I want to come back here.
Yeah, later.
Okay. Right now.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing other things. Where have Alex and Daddy
gone? We're going to see the birds next.
I think we have gone to see the maid.
All right.
Down.
Wait, Bethany. Whoa, stop.
Bethany, wait.
Wait, stop.
Come here, darling. It's
brilliant for them.
No, this way.
No, this way.
This way, through these
yards.
Come and see these tractors, this way.
This is a dairy show I haven't seen yet, either, I don't think.
All right.
Look at the old tractors there, Bethany. Old motor car.
Well, she can look another time. She's got other things on her mind at the moment, haven't you, darling?
This old stock,
this could be interesting.
Tremendous stock.
Daddy! See, some of these things, don't it?
Treasure.
Well, your dad isn't lost. He's going. Well, he might be. He's going around the maze, I think. Awesome. Wait, Bethany, please do not run away.
That's a
whole tractor. These are the tractors that are
Marshall, come on out of the way. It's a good boy. Come here.
We're going for. Go for a wee first. Go on. Down here. Bethany, come on. Come on.
Wait. Wait.
Wait.
This way. Bethany, this way.
Okay.
Come this way. Then this way. See the cow?
What cow is the turn for? He's what?
Quite fast.
Painting with cows all along the wall.
So the old man. Is he ready to get built? Ready to move the cows up? That's how the cows get built.
Doesn't look like the cows are built. Oh, and so, well, there's a collection of I like how it should be, isn't it? Yeah. No, that's right.
I mean, they seem to be very easy about that job.
I know.
Just fitting in with the situation at the time. I like the way they did with the little one.
Oh, they were brilliant with Alex with the laser gun too.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah, absolutely excellent. You know, he was making sure that Matt was there with him and that he got reloaded and all the rest of it. All right. I don't know, maybe Bethany should go for a wander around somewhere.
Right, should we not have her walking around till time? Yeah.
I'll save seats if you want. If you take Bethany for a... Is there anything down that far end? I can hear birds, whether that's...
That I think it's just music.
Music. With it?
I think it's just music. We just wondered if it would be a long time sitting still. I don't think there's any time sitting still.
You've got the other radio, haven't you, Frank?
Yeah.
Right, so it wasn't us.
Is it coming? Just lift your hand down there and see the thing.
That must be for the... I'd like to see that if we can, too.
Yeah, there's no reason why. So if you want to see what they're like...
Yeah. All right.
That bit, you'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
And then I imagine this one popping up.
Right.
And then there's another longer stretch like you see.
Right. Oh, right. Ah.
Here is just done like a tree, but they might even pop out of places right there.
Yeah.
And it might come from this one.
Right. So that one, possibly. Yeah. Yeah. Up there. Oop. Right.
And then, as well as that, it comes along, there's another bit you can see.
Goodness.
Another tunnel. And then there's a place for starting or finishing.
Right.
There. But then, that's one. Then there's two. Three. Four. And five.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just long tunnels, so whether they start turning. Oh no, there's this here. This goes up.
Hmm.
Right, you can see this.
Goodness me.
And then it goes over. I think you can come to that tree. There's a tree with a top light on it. So what it does when it gets up there.
We'll have to see, won't we? I'll have to try and make it for that, if that's okay.
Yeah. I think we'll need to anyway, because, you know, if you follow what I mean.
Yeah.
Make it,
Yeah, absolutely. And we were saying, if you'll do it with us, we think we can get Bethany around the clone zone.
Oh, yeah, we'll do it.
All right. Because we'll just need extra...
I might even go in the adventure thing.
Yeah,
you
well,
it, didn't
you? No, I didn't.
All right.
So I've said to Alex that I'll do that with him. I need to do the purple one. I think he said I've got to do.
Well, see how you're feeling.
No, I'll try and at least do that. I did say I'd try and do that. So.
I'm not sure if it should be further towards the middle, but the high up won't matter.
Right.
Here's a Matt and an Alex. Do you want to go nearer the middle, Frank? Well, we can walk along for you.
Okay. It's a fantastic place they've got, isn't it? Just having the space for this too.
Guess where we've been?
On the train? Maze?
Train.
At least to sit on.
Yeah.
The train? Oh, right.
And the maze.
Right, well, that's something else to... And I'd like to see another one, I'm afraid, the flying ferret one. Have you seen?
Yeah. One, two. Right, you lot, up there. You can sit there if you want to. You're going to get a much better view over here. This is the section we're sitting in. You can get close to these birds. And the nearer the front you are, the closer you're going to get.
Right. I want to be down. Please. Thank you.
Well, you and Alex, sit on the front.
Yeah, if you want to sit further back with Bethany. Sorry. Okay.
She's like that.
She always does
that. Is it really
hard? I'm taking it. Okay. Now, when he says keep still, you must.
I think she shouldn't sit next to Alex. I think she should sit next to Daddy. Go and sit next to them. If you don't behave, you go to the other side of Daddy, right? Do you understand that?
I understand.
Grandma, I can't see.
Right, folks, you're going to get your best view in this section here. You can sit there if you want to, but you can get a better view over here. Right, turn this music off before you all fall asleep. Do you like my music?
It's good.
I do.
Alex,
it's alright, he's not asking for anything. Put your hands up, do you want to go to the toilet? You do? Goodness. Right, morning then. Welcome to the Milky Way, your bench car.
Welcome to my Bird of Prey show. My name's David, I'm your falconer for today. I'm going to be giving you two shows today. This, of course, is the first one. And then this afternoon at 2, looks like it's going to be a nice day. So my plan is to get outside and fly some of my fastest birds of prey. And I do have some fast ones. So hopefully today, that's the plan. If the weather's bad, though, I'll be back in here with this lot all over again. So keep your fingers crossed for me. Now, flying birds indoors in a room like this is not without risk. So I have some rules and regulations. Important that these ones are followed because they will keep you safe and me and my birds happy. The first of those is regarding children. My birds will be coming in low and fast. I'm going to need your children very, very still for the next half an hour. If your children stand up or move around unexpectedly while my bird comes flying in,
you must sit next to Dad.
There is some danger of my bird flying into your child.
You must stay still. Do you understand?
My bird could hurt itself. So, keep still.
You must. When the birds are flying, you stay very still.
Keeping your children still. That really is very important. Keep them quiet too, if you can. If you can't keep them quiet, and you can't keep them still, and I don't claim to be a children's entertainer, then you can leave. Pick up your kids and just walk out. Please try and wait until I'm in between flying birds if you can. It's much, much safer that way. If you have to leave while a bird is flying, that's okay too. But don't just stand up and walk out. Just give me a little wave, let me know you need to leave, and I can stop my birds from colliding with your face or landing on your head. One of my birds likes to land right next to you on these benches. So if there's a little gap between you and your neighbour, you might well get one of my birds landing in that gap. But please remember, birds of prey are not like dogs or cats. They hate to be stroked. They hate it. And although us falconers can train them to put up with being stroked, I don't do that. My birds work hard enough for me as it is. And I figure if they don't want to be stroked, let's not stroke them, please. And if you've got children with you, please make sure they don't stroke my birds.
All right.
Now, young man, I'm going to need you to step
that
along there. Leave the white steps nice and clear.
You understand that?
And that's it, really. That's it. If you've got a camera, you can use it, and you can use flash. Flash is fine. The only time you can't use flash is when we fly an owl in the dark, which is something we will be doing this morning. Right, now then.
Brilliant.
Normally, Norman, a fellow does a ferret show at 12:30, standing on that door stopping people from walking in while I'm doing the flying display, but there's no sign of him this morning. Don't know what happened, perhaps he's overslept. So I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to hope and pray that people don't walk in while my birds are flying around. Ah, talk of the devil, there he is. Brilliant. Yeah, I'm ready, Norm. I'm ready. Now then, when I came here, 4 years ago, I came here with just two birds. Nowhere near enough to do these shows. So I've been buying them and training them ever since. And I've got 15 birds now. That's enough to do two shows a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
From Easter to the end of October. And I've got three of these. This is a Harris Hawk. I've got three Harris Hawks, and my Harris Hawks are called Jake, Milo, and Fizz. So I got nearly a full set. Jake has been here 2 years. He arrived. You okay here? Yeah? He arrived on a hot afternoon after 8 hours travelling in a box in a car. He arrived after I received a phone call from Suffolk, which is where I grew up. And this bloke on the phone, he said, Dave, you don't know me, I'm a friend of a friend. I've got a 6-year-old male Harris Hawk and I don't get time to fly him anymore. And I'm looking for a good home. So I said, send him along. And so he arrived. And attached to the box that he arrived in was a letter. And this letter said, Dave, I forgot to mention on the phone, there's a bit of a problem with this bird. And the problem is his legs. For 2 years, this bird's not been flown, not once. He's just been tied to his perch. The letter said, I'm afraid the jesses, that's his bits of leather hanging down from his legs, the jesses have been rubbing and he's got ulcers on his legs. And sure enough, I opened the box and saw the miserablest bird I've ever seen in my life curled up in the corner. The ulcers on his legs, they'd gone right down to the bone. He got white bones sticking through out the front of both of his legs and I couldn't do anything with him at all. All I could do was turn him loose into my bird of prey hospital and put him on antibiotics. 6 weeks later, his legs recovered. The skin grew right over the top of those bits of bone. And I promised him he'll never get ulcers again. Now, as it turned out, he's got a piece of feet stuck to his beak. You are a waddy, Jake. You can't swallow it while it's stuck to your beak, mate. You have to get it off of your foot. Now, as it turned out, his sore legs were only half the problem, because poor old Jake was completely and utterly bonkers. This is the smartest of all birds of prey. These things are geniuses, every single one. He'd had no mental or physical stimulation for 2 years. He'd gone round the twist. He didn't even understand that he was a hawk at all. You see, he'd never been hunting, and hunting is what his brain and his body has been designed for millions of years. And he'd never used his body properly, never. Luckily, for Jake, Harris hawks live in packs in the wild like wolves. And my other Harris hawks, Milo and Fizz, accepted him straight away. And they taught him about hunting in his first winter here. And he caught rabbits and hares and pheasants, partridge, moorhens, squirrels, ducks, magpies and crows. He started to realise his eyes weren't for spotting food on my hand. They were spotting, distant rabbits. His feet weren't for squeezing my glove. His feet were for grabbing older rabbits, hanging on hard. His wings weren't just for taking him from one end of his room to the other. They were for soaring around high in the sky, scanning the ground underneath him. So Jake is a much happier bird than he was when he arrived. He is still the most tricky of all my 15 birds of prey to handle. He still has panic attacks. He still spends much of his time hanging upside down like a bat. He has, however, learned to use his feet for the first time in his life. And that is what being a bird of prey is all about. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Right, catch some food, Jay, catch. Ooh, see that? Now that's hard work. Using your feet like that is what being a bird of prey is all about. Because your dinner doesn't want to be dinner. Your dinner's running or flying away at high speed. And the quicker you are with those feet, well, the more likely you are to survive. Most birds of prey, not quick enough. 2 out of 3 of them will die in their first winter. That's nature's way. That's supposed to happen. The lucky ones might go on and live to a ripe old age. Jake is 9, and he's still difficult to look after. But he gets better all the time, and he might live until he's 30. So we've got plenty of time together yet. Now, a bird as clever as this one, we have to try and keep him busy. We have to try and keep his mind ticking over, working all the time. It means teaching him new stuff as often as I can. And I recently taught all my Harris hawks, every single one of them, that at the end of their show, at the end of their fly around, they've got to fly right back into the box on their own when I ask them to. So that, as soon as he's finished that piece of food up there, that is exactly what we're going to try and see if we can get Jake to do. We'll see if we're going to go right at the far end, and we'll see if we can get him to go from there, fly right into his box. And if he does go right into his box, perhaps we'll give him a round of applause. Now get a move on. Another problem that I have with Jake, apart from all the psychological problems he has, and there's no easy way to cure these problems, because he had, the equivalent of a traumatic childhood, really. The other one is food. He always thinks that somebody's going to take food from him, so he gulps down great big lumps of it, and they very often get stuck either on the end of his beak or halfway down his throat. So he's a real, real problem child, this one. Right, Jake, that's very good, mate. But it's time now to fly back into your box. What do you reckon? Right. Come on, Jake. Up the other end. Well done. Now, box, Jake. Box. Box. Well done.
Impressive.
Right, if anybody needs to leave, now's your chance to do it. Let's just check to see if anybody else wants to come in. No? Just Norm. Just Norm. Okay, now, we're going to meet an owl. The first of 3 owls you're going to meet this morning. So I've got a whole bunch of owls for you. This one you're going to meet in the dark. We're going to turn it into night time in here. Big lights are going off, little lights are coming on. And I want to fly this bird in the dark because I want you to realise, first of all, how incredibly well an owl can see. And I want you to listen to his wings, because I'm going to get him skimming your heads. And the thing about owls is their wings make no noise at all, not a sound. So you people down the front are going to get quite close contact with the bird prey. You want to move to the back? Yeah, that's fine. Now, I'm going to need you as still as possible. If any of my birds are going to land right next to you on these benches, this one is. Please do not touch, okay? You've got children with you, please.
Do you understand? You must not touch.
Okay.
And if anybody gets scared in the dark, and sometimes people do, If anybody gets scared, give me a shout and I'll turn the lights back on. I don't need to fly this bird in the dark. But if we can get away with it for 2 minutes, that would be great. Right, let's move along swiftly, because I've got a whole bunch of birds to fly yet. Let's meet a barn owl. The most beautiful owl in the whole world, I reckon. And my barn owl goes by the rather unlikely name of Scrote. Here we are. Come meet these people. Now, I can tell what mood he's in by the speed at which he comes out of this box. If he comes out quickly, it's going to be fine. If he doesn't come out at all, I'm going to be in big trouble today. What are you doing in the back there, eh? Oh. Where are you going? Now then. Birds capable of silence. And they're not the commonest owl around here. We've got several different sorts around here. But let me tell you about them first, before I tell you about barn owls. Now, the commonest owl we have around here is the tawny owl. That is the brown one, the one that lives in the woods. The one and the other one goes tuwit-tuwoo. And in fact, it takes two of them to make that noise. One goes tuwit, the other goes tuwoo. And they're very common. In fact, one kept me awake all last night, hooting in the woods outside my garden. Outside my bedroom window, even. Now, what else have we got? Oh, then we've got Little Owl, which is tiny. About a third of the size of this one.
Wow.
Little Owls, well, falconers don't like them very much, because when we train them, they tend to become really, really aggressive, and they put holes in us. So they're not much fun to handle. So you don't usually see Little Owls being used in shows like this one. And they don't really belong here. They were introduced into this country about 100 years ago from mainland Europe. But they're quite common now. Scrope, pay attention, mate. I'm in the middle of a show. Now, people think owls are very wise, intelligent creatures, but actually, they're thick as two short planks. Trying to get their attention can be quite tricky. What else have we got? Oh, we've got some rare ones. We've got long-eared owls and short-eared owls. Now, they're very few and far between, those ones. You'd be very lucky to spot one of those. And I say that because I don't see them very often, maybe once a year, if I'm lucky. But yesterday, on the other side of the car park here at the Milky Way, there's a field full of sheep. And in that field was a short-eared owl. So as rare as they are around. And it might well be there today. So on your way out, have a look over the little sort of earth bank and see if you can spot a short-eared owl sat on a fence. It might be there. What else have we got? These, of course, my favourite. Let's turn the lights on, give you a proper look. The barn owl. A bird which was very common when I was a boy growing up in Suffolk, but a bird which isn't nearly so common today. Because the barns they used to nest in are houses for me and you now. The trees have died or been cut down, the water meadows have been drained, ploughed up, planted with corn, and so laced with chemicals, they're useless to a barn owl. So we've lost 3/4 of the wild barn owls in this country. We're down to about 4,000 breeding pairs, that's all. Not good news. But luckily, farmers and landowners today know much more about conservation than they used to, and they're putting up nest boxes all over the place. And thanks to organic farmers, you've got big stretches of farmland with no chemicals on at all. Now, what is the matter with you, Spoke? Why aren't you playing the game properly, eh? I got real problems with this one. You see, we've just built Scrope, a new aviary, a big new aviary down at the Bird of Prey Centre. And the Bird of Prey Centre is absolutely full of short-tailed field mice. And through the course of the night, Scrope is catching more than his fair share and eating them. So, he can't be bothered to do his show in the morning when he wakes up. So he's becoming a real pain in the bum at the moment. But I'm hoping that he'll soon thin out that wild mouse population and we can get back to normal, because he's been a real pain. Now then, his wings, they work quietly. They make next to no noise at all. And that's because his feathers are really, really soft. And this silent flight business is a great help if you're hunting in the dark, because it means you can creep up behind your dinner, get it wrapped up in your talons, and get it killed and eaten before your dinner even knows you're coming. And it's much safer than speed, because at night, speed is really dangerous. You see, imagine if you could dive at 200 miles an hour like a peregrine falcon. Imagine trying that when the lights are out. You wouldn't last very long, would you? You'd fly into something and you'd kill yourself. Barn owls figured that out a long time ago, and they don't rely on speed at all anymore. And that's your cue. Get your fat lazy bum back over here, Scrope. Instead of speed, they rely on stealth, on silent flight, on fantastic nighttime vision, and on the most advanced hearing system in the animal kingdom. And if you put that lot together, you really do create a fantastic Night time, hunter. Right, scrope. Psh, psh, psh. Come on, big fat juicy mouse. Look. Don't tell me you're full. You don't want any more mice. Psh, psh, psh. Bro, I don't have all day, mate. You're being a real pain. And just remember, you would look lovely stuffed on my mantelpiece. No? Nice piece of yellow chicken. Is that what you'd rather have? No? You're late to come get you, aren't you? You horrible bird. See if I haven't got any... Let's see if I haven't got enough. I tell you what, maybe we got a gun. I really don't have all day. That's cute. Now the other thing, of course, is it could be because breeding season's approaching and getting a bit hormonal. Could be that. Right. Isn't he naughty? Come on. That's how you do it. I'm a great tub of lard. People really do think owls are very wise and intelligent creatures, but they are really half-wits. You see, the skull underneath all these feathers is so taken up with eyes and ears, there isn't much room left for brains. So we don't train owls like the other birds. What we do with owls is we take them as tiny babies and we hand-rear them, and we convince them humans are family and friends. It's the only way to do it. You know what, you're only going to have half a mouse today for your dinner. That's short rations for you because you've been so naughty. In you go. Oh, you don't even deserve a round of applause. You don't even think about clapping. Let's meet something which I'm hoping will behave itself a little bit better. Let's meet another owl. A smaller one. A more unusual one. His name's Bruce. Australia. This is a boobook owl. Kind of a rare and unusual one, really. He likes to go to the toilet before he does any work. Let's see if we can squeeze one out, Bruce, before you come back over here. Hurry up, chop chop. Get a move on, here we go. You might get some sense out of him. This is a boobook owl then from Australia and New Zealand. This is an owl, and the only one of my owls I didn't hand rear myself. He was given to me a year ago by my friend George. He's only 14. And George trained this one himself. And he did a good job. And he asked me if I wanted it a year ago, and I nearly said no, because this is a lot to expect from an owl that I haven't reared myself, flying in a room under artificial light in front of you lot.
It's coming close to my head.
Owl. You see, owls usually, I think it's too short planks, but this is the smartest owl in the whole world. These are clever little characters, these boobook owls, and that allows them to take advantage of the driest desert and the wettest rainforest. They can take advantage of many different types of habitats in Australia and New Zealand where they come from, so you find them all over the place. And not only are they clever, they're fast. This is one of the fastest owls in the world too. Now most owls, if they want to catch a bird, they wait till it's fast asleep in the branches of a tree, but not these ones. These ones are fast enough to chase them through the sky and catch them in the air and turn them into lunch. So they're quite remarkable little birds. And they're not really like any other owl at all. They look a bit like a little owl. You know, our native little owl? They look a bit like a little owl on drugs because he's got these huge goggly eyes which never get any smaller than that. He makes a funny noise too. Listen to this noise he makes. He sounds like a grasshopper plugged into a synthesizer. What a weird, weird little owl he is. Right, come on. So I nearly said no. I nearly said no when I was offered this one. Glad I said yes, because he's now a very important member of my team. Well done, Bruce.
Wow.
Let's have him. Let's plug you away.
It's amazing.
Well done, mate. Now he does deserve a clap. Well
done. Yes, I do. He's good.
Right. One more owl that you'd meet. A bit bigger. This one. This is an African owl. An African spotted eagle owl. And he goes by the name of Gonk. And Gonk's only a year old.
I said it to Gonk's make got that a 4-foot wingspan.
He only weighs a pound and a half. He's got a 4-foot wingspan and silent flight. Listen. Plus, when this one flies over your head, he's really very quiet. Came to me at 10 days old and been with me ever since. And he's good as gold, this one. Very rarely messes me around. Interesting character. Huge eyes. Incredibly powerful eyesight. But his eyes, well, owl's eyes, they're not like hawk or falcon's eyes. Owl's eyes are fixed in the socket. So he can't move his eyes at all. So if he wants to work out how far away something is, he's got to move his head from side to side. A bit like one of those nodding dogs in the back of a car. And you go. So his eyesight's quite something. His hearing's pretty special too. He's got a skull, halfway inside between a golf ball and a tennis ball. But his skull, his ear holes are nearly the size of ours. But they're not quite like ours. You see, he's got one ear hole high up on one side of his head, and one low down on the other. So, the sound that his prey makes as it wanders through the undergrowth reaches those ears at different intervals. And that allows him to judge distance with his hearing, just like we can judge distance with our eyes. So these are quite remarkable birds. In fact, all owls are quite remarkable. Right, one more time over here. Gonk. Here. See that? Oh, how far away are you, Dad? And that's really important to him, because when I first trained him, and when he first came in here, he kept trying to land on the trees which are painted on the walls. So now he double checks everything.
Wow.
Come on. Isn't he great? Let's pop him away. I got one more bird to show you.
Yeah. Excellent. Just one more bird.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
One more then. You alright for one more?
Yes, yeah.
Another 5 minutes, that's all. This is one of my favourites. Her name is Polly. And Polly is a kestrel. These are the ones you see hovering near a busy road.
See these sometimes.
And I wanted to show you not how gorgeous they are. These are the birds that got these stars in the first place when I was 14. Birds of prey were a bit thin on the ground when I was a boy. You see, they were just recovering from a pesticide called DDT, which had been used throughout most of the civilised world. And it killed birds of prey. It made them lay eggs with shells that were so thin that when Mum sat down to warm the egg collapsed and the baby inside died.
Gosh.
And it gave them liver failure too. So we were short of birds of prey, but there were a few kestrels about. So I wanted to show you lot how gorgeous they are. The only one I could find, though, when I needed one 4 years ago, was this one. And I had to go all the way to Scotland to get her. Like all my birds, she was bred in an aviary. And she'd never left that aviary, never, not once, in all her life. She'd never been higher than 6 feet or further than 10. All her brothers and sisters were sold when she was tiny. But nobody wanted Polly because she was so damn noisy. So 4 years on, she's much improved. Brand new feathers. She looks good. And she gets to fly indoors and outdoors every day. So she's fitter and stronger than she used to be. I even bought her a boyfriend when she first came here, because I thought she might want some company after all that time on her own. I built a nice aviary, and my plan was to stick them in together and breed kestrels. But on their first night together, Polly tried to eat my male kestrel. That was the end of that. She's a rubbish hawk. She's afraid of heights, still. She still has panic attacks if the wind is stronger than about 15 miles an hour. She's scared of live mice. Not much of a hunter. Hovering, which is what kestrels are best at, and what her ex-boyfriend, Sable, is fantastic at, and I'll show you this afternoon, I'll get him to hover just over your head. Hovering is way beyond Polly, way beyond her. She was too old when she arrived here to learn something as complicated as hovering. But what she can do is, well, she's got a party trick, keeping her head still. And this is what happens when a kestrel's hovering. When you're hovering 40 feet above the ground near a busy road, concentrating on the long grass underneath you because your lunch is down there somewhere, imagine how tricky it is to concentrate when the wind is blowing you around. Imagine how useful it would be if you could keep your head still. Watch. Again, face front. Front, head still. Now, if you do that, while your body gets blown around, you can concentrate on the ground underneath you. Might just catch a mouse. Oh, that's rubbish. Concentrate. Keep your head still. Don't look at me. Look at her. So she can't hover. But she can keep her head still. Up and down and every lunch. Up and down and then you can have your lunch. So, this afternoon at 2, I'll fly your old boyfriend, I'll get him to hover over your head, and you can see exactly how that works in practice, how he can hover above your head and keep his head really still. And that's really it for the indoor show this morning. Hopefully this afternoon at 2, we'll go outside and fly my faster birds of prey. Like I said, if it's raining, I'm back in here, but I think it's going to be a nice day. I hope so. In the meantime, there's a lot going on. We've got bottle feeding of the lambs and the goats at 12 o'clock in Pet's Corner next door. And then back in here, half past 12 with Norman and his flying carrot. In the meantime, if you're passing the Bird of Prey Centre, come into my workshop, have a look at my paintings. I painted all these birds that you see today, and many of the others. And we sell the paintings and prints of the paintings, and that is what finances our Bird of Prey Hospital, which is the gift we never knew. So you're welcome to come in. In the meantime, hopefully, I'll see you at 2. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Have a great day. Thank you.
Really, really good. Really good. The things that are there, the tubes and everything,
yeah,
are for the ferrets, which we will see later if you want. I'd like to.
I want.
She what? That was worth seeing. That was brilliant.
Felt the breeze up there.
Oh, it's brilliant, it's wonderful, yeah.
Where's it?
Hmm? All right, keep with us, Alex, lad. What?
Remember the fact that he tried to keep me safe?
Yeah.
Cheers, sir. You watch your show out there? You do a show?
Yeah.
Okay. We missed that one, didn't we?
No.
Remember that? Oh, I bet he charged you, didn't he? That was great. That's your money.
Come on, that was really good. Really good. Yeah, I see no reason why. How full is it at the moment? Is there a queue?
You can
let's see if we can get Bethany in as well on a session. Alex!
Locking his bloody fingers in his ear.
There we go, smaller ones. Yeah, very good. Very good. I'm glad we came just for that. It was amazing being so close to the birds. It's just like, and because it was indoor.
He was making sure once.
Right. Oh, yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I haven't got my watch on, which is a bit daft. Really.
Hello.
Hiya. All right. That's... It's a bottle feeding.
Bottle feeding.
just saying, I'd like to go down to the bird of prey place as well.
Yeah.
So, do you want to do it so that we swap over at some point? We'll take the kids
back. Good afternoon, everyone.
Feeding.
It's double feeding time. Now, if you'd like to be ready to go, please raise your hand.
We'll take them to the pet feeding and then we'll swap if you like, yeah?
Bethany, Matt? Bethany, that's it.
Matt?
We've gone down to see the falcons and then you can
come. Yes.
It's about at 12:30 and it's good.
Yeah.
Bethy, you have to wait your turn.
Is Alex with us?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But she's too little to hold things.
Bethany?
You have to hold them for her. Alright.
Don't worry, somebody will come in a minute. Bethany! Bethany!
Your own kind of thought when you see the pigs that we have here, the ones that you have to feed them.
Don't think it, dear. But yes, I would presume so. I mean, come on, they're farmers, you know, originally. You've got to be logical about things, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't have
just hold this, I want to just sit my cardigan.
Yeah?
Just hold that, I want to sit my cardigan up.
Yeah, you can't have birds of prey without.
No, it's just, you know, that's it, isn't it? I really enjoyed that. It's so good. It's worth coming for that.
We've got swapped that a few times.
Yeah, 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 it's great.
She's gone back down, isn't it?
So. Alex is watching the chicks.
She's down at the lambs.
Right. Do you want me to stay with Alex or what? Hmm? Right, I'm here if you need me. Okay, I'll just do it around here for you. Okay. That's fine, you can look at the chicks.
Mom, the one you're next to has the moss.
Does it? Right. Are they asleep?
Feeding time now, the guys. Becky!
Right, sit down. A flying ferret show yet?
Well, we could do it at 3 if they want some dinner after this. Not a problem.
Get good photographs from the flying.
No.
Turn around.
Turn around. So this side.
Yeah.
Do come on in and take the seat. That's it, guys. Come on in and take a seat. We're about to start. Okay. Right now, welcome to the Milky Way. Before we make a start, just largely for the benefit of those of you who perhaps been here before, you may be a little bit curious as to why you've got notices up saying please do not enter. Because as you'll remember from other visits, we always let you enter and become a cuddle. Because there's nothing like a little cuddle, is there? The reason that we're not letting you in for a cuddle today is it's all your fault. You're here 2 weeks early. Okay, Easter's so early that the farms that the lambs are coming from are only just started lambing. So normally they'd be 2 weeks older, a little bit more robust, and quite able and in fact enjoy having a cuddle. So we don't want any mishaps and dead lambs to come. So we will go back to normal, letting you go in and cuddle the lambs and the goats. Another week, go a bit more, just as soon as the lambs and the goats are strong enough, okay? Because we think that's what it's all about. Okay, so what we're actually going to do today, we're going to start the lovely thing down this end with the little baby lambs. Ah, come on, I need some help with this.
Aww.
We're going to come all the way down through, by the way, and we'll let you all feed the lambs. And then, if you've been good, darling, if you've been good, we'll come back and we'll start all over again with the little baby goats. Okay, that's lovely. Okay, enough of the nonsense. If you've got a camera in your pocket or wherever, do feel free to take it out. You're very welcome to stand up and get some lovely photographs of the family as we come down to the group, okay? Okay, boys, let's go.
Oh,
are you going the wrong way? It's this way. Oi. Oi, Lily.
You want
You two sit next to me, and sit there. Oh. Yeah. Sit with me. Sit down.
Well done. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Come on. I was about to tell them all, we're feeding them every 4 hours, just like a baby at the moment. And the gentleman with slightly more grey hair than me is responsible for the nighttime feeds. Lucky old Norm.
No. All right. Did you feed a lamb?
Like a baby.
Right, you rascal. Did you feed a lamb?
Like a baby.
Hey, like a baby. Oh, rock a baby, better be yours.
Like a baby. Like a baby. Like a baby.
The reason that the little lambs are here, they haven't been taken away from the mummies just to give you pleasure. They're actually ones of triplets and quads, where the mummies didn't have enough milk to keep the whole family. So what we've actually got are the real little weak ones that possibly would have died if you weren't here. Okay then, before we let the little goats out, just a little bit of outcome. Whoops. The little goats are about 2.5 weeks old, and they're certainly not orphans. They're all little females, in fact they're all pedigree females. And they come from a big commercial goat farm in Dorset, near Sherborne. And for the last 15 years, you've been very kind in rearing anything up to 30 baby goats a year for this particular farmer. You see, he's a goat farmer. He milks approximately 300 goats every day. And about 50 or 16 years ago, he actually loaned me 3 or 4 little baby goats for the summer. And at the end of the summer, when he had them back, he realised that you guys had totally altered the temperament. And eventually they had their own babies and they went into the milking parlour to be milked. And he found that they were so much easier to milk. He didn't have to fuss and worry. They'd come into the milking parlour without any problems. So he put 2 and 2 together. He contacted us and said, would we mind if you lot reared 20 or 30 baby goats a year for him? And that's what we've been doing ever since. And so we think it's a lovely arrangement. We get lots of little baby goats for a cuddle. And of course he gets back lots of extra tame friendly goats to milk in his milking parlour and they become the herd leaders. But it's just a lovely arrangement. Okay, so we're going to let them out now. And have much more fun with the goats, which is something we do find out once we allow you to go in with them. Because they're so very intelligent, they actually come to be interactive and they play with you to try and undo your shoelaces and your buttons and all sorts of things. Like all sorts of peculiar things have happened over the years with the goats. Always each year there's a real character amongst them. And I remember a few years ago when they were in the barn next door where the Dodgems are, and it was a lovely hot summer's day, really boiling. I happened to walk through the building, it was full of people, and there was one lovely lady in the pen of goats, one of the pens of goats, with her young family. And she was trying to persuade them to cuddle and do this and that for the goat. And then what she should have been doing was worrying about the goat that was round behind her, because she was wearing one of those very loose two-piece cottony things. And all of a sudden, the goat caught hold of it, and it just left her there in her pants, in front of about 200 people. There we are.
Thank you, right? That's great. Our national. Bethany.
Bethany, you sit down.
We're out there.
Yes, you can.
We're out there.
Tell her that she won't get to feed it if she doesn't wait.
Pardon?
If she doesn't wait, she won't get to feed one. Don't worry about it.
Did you want to carry on?
No, I didn't.
Bethany, do you not want to do the bus? You've got fucking out of
the the worst thing that could happen to you is that it turns its head around because you're getting sloppy quick, alright? Although we have known them sometimes when they just pop the tongue into your ear and you're here to see if you can clean them.
Give
a push. That's it. Okay.
Don't worry. Anyway, if you remember, if you ask if anybody ever had a fight like that, so we'll do that again. Right, here you go.
Anybody's wondering what the two sort of green and black dots on their heads are all about. What were the horns for?
Bethy?
They dehorn them, or rather de-plug them, just before they bring them down to us.
Yeah.
They'll never grow again. And the reason for that, keeping 300 goats together, it stops them being aggressive towards
you.
There's a chicken jet, Matt.
It's extremely exciting. We sort of liken it to the fact that if you've got a hole in the hedge, you can carry the next one, all right? There's a hole in the hedge, the sheep would find it tomorrow, the goats found it yesterday.
I think, Matt, you should hold it. You should hold it. What?
Where are you going, Bethany?
I need to get this.
Right, you need to go on.
I'm just
a
service
of
a bit of a reminder. In about a quarter of an hour, in the big theatre next door, our Norman here, he's going to do you a parrot show. He's going to do you a little bit of parrot racing. A little bit of parrot agility. And right at the very end, for your amazement, he's going to fly the world's one and only flying parrot.
No, ferret. You know that thing that you stroked at the dinosaur park? A little small animal. The same with the snakes. When you were holding a snake, there was one that you stroked. A small, four-legged animal.
Sorry?
No, you haven't. You've been very good. It's all right.
Yeah. you've got me as well. If you want to see the end, still three more to come out.
They are.
Yeah. Keep walking, that's it. Okay, so that's all the volunteers for this morning, gang. We'll do it again at 4 o'clock. Now, don't forget to check out the incubators today, because when I was looking at them, it was about 8 o'clock this morning.
We haven't got any dryer.
It's alright, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead and have another look at the
fish. Oh, I have a big one.